There's the lighter side of sports, and there's the enlightened side of sports. This is The Ladder. Melnick in the afternoon, TSN 690.
Petrie long pass, redirected in by Pacioretty. His next goal is career 100, 200, and there it is! Pacioretty takes a pass! And the Canadians lead 1-0 on his 200th career goal. The McCarron trio is out there. Now Beaulieu, a pass to McCarron. Coming over the line, his left wing feed off a stick. Collected now by a turning car, put it behind the net. McCarron pinched off by Mike Stone in behind the goal. As they each try to get it to a teammate or get some help, McCarron battling against Stone. Puck comes loose in front. And a couple of anxious moments there for Ryan White. He didn't seem to know where to go with it. He falls down. Mitchell does behind the net.
Good forecheck by this trio, and they win it back.
McCarron shoots it off a skate, and that'll come into the corner. Now a point pass. Markov with time. He'll wind up, and he scores! Markov rings it off the post, and it's 2-0 Habs. And here comes Peter Holland in all alone. He lost the puck, and no goal. Price is down. The puck is on the blue, on the goal line. Power play for the Habs. Open net. They score. Goligoski scored. Price totally was out of position. He was way to his left. Goligoski had an open net, and Arizona leads it 3-2. Price lost vision of the puck. Petrie coming to the near side. Pressure on him. Markov now to the net. Here's a chance, and Pacioretty scores. Puck bounces to the front of the net. Price, they score. Price came out, swung at it wildly, and Dvorak gets his second of the game, and we are tied at 4.
Well, I'm sorry, Carey Price, he's sleeping. He's either got to come out right away or put that stick away and make the save. I mean, that's a terrible goal.
Pacioretty over the line. The legs are giving way. Galchenyuk scores! Alex Galchenyuk with the drop pass from Pacioretty, and the Canadians win 5-4 in overtime. What a game.
Welcome back. It's hour number 3. Welcome to the weekend. Melnick in the afternoon. TSN 690 with Rod Francis. Amanda Stein is in for Mitch Gallo. Zach Gilmore is here helping us out. After 5:30, Bill Lee resurfaces with us. A lot has gone on since we last made contact with the spaceman. Right now, we're going to Minneapolis.
Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Dagwood's Bab Sandwich. Ham and pepperoni dressed like you like it. Now only $7 for a large at Dagwood's.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
That game was never in doubt. Oh, man. Well, good for Max Pacioretty. I remember the soundbite that Rod played for us yesterday from Pacioretty talking about the importance of the game.
Yep.
He clearly got the message self-delivered, obviously.
Wow.
Good for Sergio for saying what he said about Carey. Carey's got to get going here. I know that he needs some practice time. I'm not worried about him, but he's got to get going if this team's going to go on an extended run. He's going to have to. But that being said, that was they showed a lot of heart. They cared about one another, and Max obviously elevated.
I think you hit on something there, because what we witnessed after coming off that shutout loss, no-show in Denver two nights earlier, and they had the game in control, they couldn't get a third goal. You're thinking, geez, a lot of chances here. I wonder if it's going to come back and hurt them not getting that third goal. And then bing, 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 they fell apart. The first sign of adversity, they kind of melted, which we saw last year. But for them to regroup between the second and third period, and if anybody's thinking, okay, this team has got some issues in there, I think they alleviated that concern, if it exists, between the second and third.
Sure. Absolutely. Really well said. I agree totally. The other thing, there's an unsung hero in the game, and I'm really happy for him. Obviously, McCarron in the faceoff dot was really good. I don't know what his numbers were, but I know every time he was out there, it looked like he was winning a faceoff.
Yeah, I think he won 7 of 11 draws last night.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, that's a positive thing for the team as well. When you can get that from your depth players, especially guys that were called up and you need a little. We talked about youthful enthusiasm and why they would bring Carr up and why they would bring McCarron up. You know, some people think it's showcase cinema. I think it's more of they needed some energy. They needed somebody to do something from those depth lines, and he gave him that with puck possession and winning faceoffs. So good for him.
Yeah, that long clip leading to the Markov goal, that was all about what those two guys in particular did down low.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we just had Mark Denis on, Pierre, which was really good of Mark because, you know, it's a day
he's
off and they flew. Yeah, he's such a bright...
He's good at what he does, too. Very good at what he does.
And we wanted to speak to a former goalie, obviously, to try to figure out. Yeah. And you know, to try to paraphrase what Mark said is the amount of hockey that he's played, even going back to the extra work that he was doing last summer to get ready for the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already have this plan mapped out that it's more important, that is vitally important, actually, for this team down the stretch and in the postseason, what Carey Price does, so that it doesn't end up like three of the last four years that the Canadiens ended the season, Carey Price was not their goaltender. And so while it doesn't look good at times, the break is going to give him an opportunity to reset, and you'll see the real Carey Price coming out of the break.
That's part of it. I would agree with that. You know, I was not a fan of him going to the World Cup. You know that. I told you that a million times.
Yeah, I don't think you were a fan of the World Cup, period.
No, I didn't. I mean,
no, come no. on. No, no, right?
An exhibition tournament.
Yeah. Okay.
All that being said, I think the biggest thing with Carey is he needs to get back to practicing properly. And it's not because of him doing something wrong, and it's not because of Stephon Waite doing something wrong. It's because of the schedule and what they've had to face. Now he can get some rest, and their schedule gets a little bit more normal, more of a normal NHL routine. So I think that's going to be positive for him in terms of work-to-rest ratio and really being able to push it in practice.
Yeah. Rod?
A lot of talk about Carey and his confidence in that, Pierre. And look, whether he it looks like he's lost some confidence, but whether that's a fact or not, when he goes through struggles like this, for opposing shooters, they must all of a sudden feel confident knowing that Carey Price is not invincible.
When you used to play against Patrick Roy, or when you used to play against Marty Brodeur, or used to play against Dominic Hasek, more times than not, guys would waste scoring opportunities because they were intimidated by the goalie and they would try to pick corners rather than just put pucks on goal. Well, the same thing when Carey's on his game. But now you see guys aren't afraid to take the puck to the net. Guys aren't afraid to shoot from wherever. Guys aren't trying to pick corners. They're just trying to get the puck on goal. That's because they're not as intimidated by him at this point. That doesn't mean it's not going to change because I think it will. He's still a super elite goalie. He is. Everybody knows it. He's just going through a little bit of a doldrum right now. And I will say this because I really, truly believe it. I think a huge part of it is because he hasn't had normal practice routines.
Sitting in for Mitch Gallo today, Amanda Stein.
Pierre, I'm just wondering from a practice perspective and from a coaching perspective, when you have a player, a star player like Carey Price, who looks like he's not trusting his own instincts that have really helped him throughout his career, is there anything difficult about coaching a star player like that? Or maybe not difficult, but tough when you know your star player is going through a tough time?
Nice to talk with you, Amanda.
You
yeah,
too.
There is a tough time. And I think that comes down to the relationship you built up over time with the star player. I'll give you a little story. I remember clear as day. It's just because it's Mario Lemieux. And I was a young coach, and this was in training camp. Half of our team went to New York, and the other half of our team went to Colorado, to Vail, for training camp. And I was with the Vail portion. And I was given explicit orders. We were to practice. And, you know, we're coming off a Stanley Cup, but training camp had been a little rocky to that point, and upper management wanted us to definitely skate. And I remember going to Mario on the bus saying, Ace, I'm sorry to tell you this, but we're going to have to skate. And he says, not a problem at all. Just get us some food. So we pulled over to a fast food restaurant. We got the guy's food. And he led by example, and he put on a show. But it just, if I didn't have that relationship with him from having won the Cup the year before, or having a trusting relationship with him, I could have gone to him, and he probably said, you know, I'm not listening to this guy. So you got to, and it was hard for me to go to him and approach him with that because I'm a young coach, and, you know, you just don't want to overexert yourself or overdo yourself on somebody. So, yeah, no, it's not easy. But if you have a good, strong relationship with somebody, then you can do it a little bit easier.
How strong was Pierre's relationship with Mario Lemieux? For those who might not have heard the story, you used to tie his skates, right?
Well, in practice, we had a guy that did it for his games. Well, you had to because he couldn't bend over. He was, honest to goodness, he is such a warrior. He could not bend over and tie his skates for good portions of his career in the early 90s.
Yeah.
That's how bad
significant back
was.
Issues, yeah.
Yeah.
With Pierre McGuire in Minneapolis, the Tampa Bay Lightning are there tonight. We'll get to that in a second with Rod Francis, Amanda Stein, Mitch Melnick with you until 6 o'clock. A reminder again, the entire full hour of the Friday Scrum edition of Habs Lunch replayed between 6 and 7 tonight.
Almost makes you feel sympathetic about what Tiger Woods is going through, doesn't it?
No.
No, it doesn't.
No, not after he complained about it. Well, Pierre, I've
had back surgery too, okay, Tiger?
Okay, yeah, let me throw this out. And as someone who has spent his life in hockey and a big football guy, when I heard this today, I kind of had that sour beer Daryl Sutter face on.
I feel good, not great. Granted, I don't think I'll ever feel great because it's 3 back surgeries, 4 knee operations.
You must always wonder, I guess.
You know, I'm always going to be a little bit sore. It's just the way it is. But as long as I can function and function at a good enough level, then I'm fine with that.
You know, we all would love to see Tiger Woods come back and win a tournament, but to publicly, you know, we all know what's going down. Can you imagine every NHL player who's had issues publicly saying that?
No, I couldn't. I'm not going to try to even get inside of where Tiger Woods is right now, but I would tell you that that's something that wouldn't happen in our sport. Mary Lemieux beat cancer. Phil Kessel had testicular cancer as an 18-year-old or 19-year-old. Never said a word to anybody, and everybody just kept picking on him. That's just not how it works in our sport. I'm never even going to try to speak for the other sports, but I would say that you probably wouldn't hear a hockey player say that.
Yeah, and right now there are guys all over the league who are, like, really banged up, as you know. And
I'm telling you, I was in the Minnesota Wild dressing room early this morning, and I obviously, because of the confidentiality, I would never tell you. There's some guys that cannot walk very well. That's all I'm going to say. I won't tell you who. And they're playing really well.
So we have right now 27 out of 30 NHL teams are within 6 points of a playoff spot. How much longer can this continue? Will it continue? Are we ever going to get some serious separation?
I think we're going to have a break probably by the middle of next week. I still think the weekend's really important for a lot of teams, especially on the western side. When you look at Dallas in particular and what happened to them in Ottawa last night, they're really starting to shrivel up. And at some point, Jimmy Neal's going to have to probably realize that he's going to have to be a seller. Detroit, I think, on the East at some point is going to have to probably be a seller. If Florida has a couple more stumbles, I think, especially after losing on home ice like they did to Los Angeles last night, they're going to have to realize this isn't going to happen for us this year. They're going to probably have to sell a little bit. I would imagine, Rod, that probably by next Wednesday you'll have a more clearly defined picture. I really believe that. Plus, there's some teams going on breaks too, which will create a little bit more of a separation point with the points.
Pierre mentioned Ottawa last night.
You are Mr. Sunshine, aren't you? Well, look out! This is in the net, and everyone scores, and this is going to count. London goes to the net. The Stars play it back, and Ottawa scores. Well, you can't blame the goalie on that one.
Gord Miller and Ray Ferraro, Yuri Hudler on an extra attacker power play coming up, put the puck in his own net, and they lose by one goal. So that tells you where it's at.
I feel for that guy. That's terrible. I mean, I felt so bad for Yuri Hudler. I really did. You're not supposed to feel bad for anybody. I felt bad for him. Just watching that last night, I was like, oh, you have to be kidding me, that poor guy.
But you're right about Dallas, Pierre, right? And a couple of the other teams you mentioned. I can understand Florida waiting because they just got the kids back and that maybe they can get on a run with them in the lineup.
How did they lose last night to L.A. like that? L.A. had been shut out 2 games in a row and only scored 1 goal in Philadelphia in their other game. They scored 6 last night in Florida.
Yeah,
James Reimer
didn't look too good last night.
I know, but come on, let's go. If you're going to be a playoff team, you got to put the pedal to the metal now. You can't be saying, oh, we'll wait another 5 days or 6 days. No, you can't, especially on home ice.
Yeah.
Especially when you're playing on home ice.
Well, so what happened to Philadelphia on home ice? Right?
Well, there are a couple things with them. One, obviously their last 15 or so games hasn't been very good. Two, the inconsistent goaltending. Some nights Mason's there, some nights he's not. I didn't think he was great last night. The Konechny injury is troublesome for them. It kind of affects a lot of what they try to do on their power play and also with their second line. Their power play, which was so hot for so long, kind of has cooled off for about 25 games. It's been spotty, I guess, is the best way to describe it. There have been some issues there. There's no question there have been some issues there.
Yeah. So as we all look at the standings, to Rod's point and your point about when there's going to be some separation, there's still one team, and you're going to see them tonight, that you're not going to believe that they're not going to make a run until it's obvious that they're not going to make a run, and that's the Tampa Bay Lightning.
their schedule is not easy because they play here tonight. They play in Winnipeg tomorrow. Winnipeg has Chicago tonight in Winnipeg, but still. So Tampa's going up there. I spent a good amount of time with their coaching staff last night when I got back to Minnesota from Waterloo. And then I was around the rink with some of their people today. The injury to Ryan Callahan's not being talked about enough, and the injury to Steven Stamkos is not being talked about enough. I mean, this is a team that really has been decimated by critically, critically important players. And for whatever reason, Tyler Johnson's kind of dried up a little bit. Nikita Kucherov's kind of dried up a little bit. They've had a Palat injury situation in and out most of the year, never really consistency in the line. It's been a tough year for them. No matter what anybody says, it's been a tough year.
St. Louis tomorrow night at the Bell Center. Boston on Sunday. St. Louis with a new coach. Mike Yeo has won three in a row. Jake Allen is suddenly stopping pucks again. Sunday in Boston, new coach. The Bruins scored six to beat San Jose last night. And all of a sudden, a week ago, it's always a tough back-to-back, but it was doable. And now all of a sudden, it looks a lot tougher for the Canadiens.
It's tougher. I think one of the things that's going on, and I don't know how much has been talked about on the show, nobody really knew what would happen with Jake Allen in St. Louis, but, you know, and I love Jimmy Corsi. I think anybody that's from Montreal loves Jimmy Corsi that knows him. Brodeur's gone in there, and whatever he said to him or done with him, along with Ty Conklin, it's kind of changed Jake's atmosphere around him in terms of how he's perceiving and playing. So I think that's important. You can see there's a lighter mood on the bench. When you see Tarasenko score last night, look at the reaction from the coaching staff. They're all smiling and happy, and the players are hugging and high-fiving. And even when they won with the previous total coaching staff, there wasn't any of that jubilation. So it's a different feel around their team. For Boston, the small sample size, San Jose's not playing well. They've lost three in a row now. Bergeron was huge last night. They get a goal and three assists, if I remember correctly. He was really good in that game. Pasternak was outstanding in that game, so getting his goal scoring back. So, I mean, don't overplay Boston yet. Let's see how it plays out there. But I think St. Louis is a much better team, no question.
Pierre, a lot of the times in the locker room, especially after a loss, when I'm talking to some of the players, generally one of the things that they say is we're going to look at this game and learn from it. And I'm wondering what type of difference there would be in terms of a debrief after a game like the Canadiens had against Colorado versus a debrief with the coaching staff after a game like Arizona. What sort of differences are there?
Well, I would probably be willing to bet they didn't talk much after the Colorado game. They waited until the next day, the off day in Arizona. And I'm sure the debrief was pretty substantial, Amanda. I would probably imagine, I know if I were coaching that team, I'd just come in after last night and say, good job, man, and walk out and leave it to the players to celebrate. That was their win. That had nothing to do with the coach. That was a player's win. So you come in, say, good job, and walk out. Let the players enjoy it. You don't have to say anything to them and just get ready for St. Louis when you get back to Montreal.
I wasn't expecting us to come out of that little slump with an easy one. I think maybe it makes it a little bit more special and makes us keeps us on our toes a little bit if we have an emotional game like that. But our job is to follow it up with another emotional one.
There you go. That captain
He's
speaks.
He's starting to sound like a captain.
Yeah. Thanks as always, Pierre. Have a great weekend. We'll do it again on Monday as the Habs head into their bye week.
Tomorrow I'll be at Tom Reed's all day, starting at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. There's tons of games tomorrow.
Yeah, there's three afternoon games, right? 12,
yeah,
1, and
mean,
2?
Yeah. So I'll be over at Tom Reed's. I'll come and watch the Wild practice tomorrow, and then I'll head right over there. So it'll be a good hockey day tomorrow.
Have a good one.
Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks, Mitch, Rod, and Amanda.
Patch was a true leader tonight. He was a true captain. He took charge. He played a hell of a game, and... you deserve a lot of credit for that win.
Coming up, a chance for you to follow the Canadiens into Toronto, hang out for two nights, see their game in Toronto a week from tomorrow night, and you're going to head there via VIA. It's a trip for two, and you will stay two nights, Friday night the 24th, Saturday night the 25th at the Doubletree in downtown Toronto. That opportunity's coming up, and the Spaceman will join us on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub.